हरे हे
Section 27, Digvijay Parva. Vaishampayana said that heroic and foremost of the Pandavas, endued with great energy, crossing the White Mountains, subjugated the country of the Limpurushas, ruled by Dharmaputra, after a collision involving a great slaughter of Kshatriyas, and brought the region under his complete sway. Having reduced that country, the son of Indra, Arjuna, with a collected mind, marched at the head of his troops to the country called Harataka, ruled by the Guhyakas, right? Crossed the White Mountains. What are the White Mountains in the north? Yes, so then it's quite a long way. You fly, it takes a, you, once you fly from Delhi to going to Almaty, which is like basically one of the first cities on the other side. It's about 3 hours, right? So probably the first, I don't know, 45 minutes of that must take you over Delhi and Kashmir. And then after that, it's just White Mountains, right? And all above 20,000 feet, right? So he marched with his army over that. Subjugating them by a policy of conciliation, the Kuru prince beheld in that region that excellent of lakes called Manasa. Okay, so then he went off, and that's about, so at the base of the of Tibet, then the Manasa lake. So, I say, the subjugation, I mean conciliation he used here. Why would he use conciliation? Right, Karna says a Kshatriya fights. Yes, in other words, the best is conciliation. If through proper just discussions you can work something out without a fight, that's always best, because even a better person sometimes can be defeated by a lesser person, just by the modes of nature, the situation, something went wrong. Right? So therefore that's always first. If that can't be done, then the next preferred by the Kshatriyas is war. Right, because Beda, Danda, all these different things, if you need, you use them, but they're not considered ideal because they're too petty. Right? Giving someone who's skilled in an area but culturally not qualified a position or facility just so he won't make politics for you is considered demeaning. Though it may be useful if you're not in the power in position to defeat by strength. Right? Or Beda means then you're threatening by saying what are the consequences. You have to endeavor to separate the parties so that they won't have many people on their party or no one on their side. You know, so all this different political stuff, it's not considered ideal. So even though the Kshatriya is involved in politics, right, but the direct forms of politics are his preferred. Direct conversation, direct war. Right? These other, what we would call political, is not preferred by the Kshatriyas who are, you know, involved in politics. Therefore, who if it's not for Kshatriyas, Brahmins, of course, that's not so much their position unless they're doing it on behalf of the king, then it's the king's doing it. But who likes to do these things? Right? But, well, Vaishyas will do it because they're doing it for profit, because they're not going at war. War means you take over the other guy, so you have to do these things first. So yes, it will come out there. And then, but in the realm of Kshatriyas, who would be working with the Kshatriyas? Who would, the bureaucrats. Bureaucrats love politics. That's what they do. Otherwise, they don't war, they don't go to war, and they don't do the conciliation. Right? The war is done by the king and his army. The conciliation is done by the king or by his ministers. Right? So all the politics, all administration, all the, you know, different little things like that, that's done by the bureaucrats. Does that make sense? So it's an assistant to the Kshatriya's position. Right? It doesn't rule it. Yes.
So bureaucrats are Shudras working for the Kshatriyas?
Bureaucrats are Shudras that work for Kshatriyas, yes. Like that. Kayastas are Shudras that work for Vaishyas. Right? They also might work for Kshatriyas. Kayastas technically are those from the higher, three higher orders who work for others doing, how you say, this bureaucratic work. So they're very, very intelligent. They're better than your normal bureaucrats. Does that make sense? So the Kayastas, they would do... The Kayasta knows how to write a letter to change somebody's mind. Right? Means you want to write on something, you may be wrong, but they know how to write it so that the other person will there. They know how to change the books. They know how to, you know, your books aren't right. They know how to, in modern language, they call cook the books. Right? And so then at the end it comes out that that's what they're expert at. Like that. So they're very, very important in administration. You can't get by without them. They're better than your normal bureaucrats. But still, that's the position.
So you said they're coming from the Dvija?
Yes. Normal bureaucrats would be Shudras who are expert in some field of management or secretarial work. That's their art. Secretary arts, you know, management arts, these things. They do those things. But the Kayastas are expert at basically how to get, how to, how you say, make your position politically correct by getting it written on a piece of paper. Either through words or numbers.
And they become subservient to the others?
They are, naturally. But they're respected because they are from a higher order. So they'll be more respected than a bureaucrat from a lower order.
They're like Dvija Bandhus?
It's not exactly Dvija Bandhus, because Dvija Bandhu means they aren't interested in anything. Generally, Dvija Bandhu means they're wastrels. Right? A Kayasta means they're very dynamic, but the position is such they can't perform their duties as a Brahmacharya or Vaishya, so then they perform the duties of a Shudra. But they perform it with the commitment that of a higher order. That's why they're respected for it. Others are Shudras and they do their best, so they're respected also. Does that make sense? Yeah, like that. Because the normal thing is if society is running properly, Brahmin, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas can perform their duties as they should. And if they can't, then they keep dropping down till they can. Right? So the ideal is that Dvijas never drop below Dvijas, but the modern society automatically turns the Dvijas into something lower. Right? You have a hospital. It's the doctors that are the higher grade. Right? They're the ones that should be running the things. But who runs it? The businessmen. So the hospitals run for business. You might have a doctor who's good at management run a hospital, his own private hospital. But generally, the hospital is run by either managers, which are Shudras, and then the Brahmins, the doctors, have to be subservient to them. Right? So like this, it's the modern society, it's very much turned upside down. It's really, really hard for someone to maintain one's dignity. But, you know, one does it. Does that make sense? One tries one's best. So that's why, of it, your ashram is your most important, because that's your spiritual platform. The social, you adjust whatever you have to, but your spiritual, you don't have to. Right? No matter what your occupation, when you go home, you can still live your own life. Does that make sense? Right? You can follow your own standards. Like that. But when you go out to work, your occupation, then you may have to adjust according to time, place, and circumstance of society. You know, does that make sense? It's not ideal. But, you know, it works. Right? So So the Vedic is trying to be practical. The exalted prince, having arrived at Lake Manasa, conquered the regions ruled by the Gandharvas that lay around the Harataka territories. Here the conqueror took, as tribute from the country, numerous excellent horses called Tiktiri, Kalmasha, and Manduka, right? Because the Gandharvas always have the best horses, right? The Gandharvas look good, they sing good, like that, and the horse is known for always looking good. Right? A horse is on its own in the middle of the field and it's still preening and checking itself out. Right? So they're the most beautiful and they know it. So naturally, good horses go with Gandharvas, not Arabs. Gandharvas, right? Like that. At last, the son of the slayer of Paka arrived in the country of North Harivarsha, desired to conquer it. Thereupon, certain frontier guards of huge bodies, endued with great strength and energy, coming to him with gallant hearts, said, O Sanaprita, this country can never be conquered by thee. If thou seekest thy good, return hence. He that entereth this region, if human, he is sure to perish. We have been gratified with thee. O hero, thy conquests have been enough, nor is there anything to be seen here. O Arjuna, that may be conquered by thee. Right? It means, in other words, he can't see. You go in there, you'll perish. He won't be able to see anything anyway. It's another area. It's another varsha you're dealing with. So therefore, he doesn't have the right to enter. Right? So, unless he's taken in. But so they're just telling him, you've conquered enough. You've come up to here. We're satisfied with you, but don't bother coming in because then you'll all perish. And what was the use of all your conquests? The northern Kurus live here. There cannot be war here. Even if thou enterest it, thou would not be able to behold anything. For with human eyes, nothing can be seen here. That's why people see what they think they see. Well, I see it, there's nothing there. That's because they can't see it. Right? So here it's being stated. That's why you can't see what's north. You can't see what's up into Meru and everything like that. Like Prabhupada, he was flying over Europe. They were going by the Alps. And the Alps that were there that people could see, he says they keep going beyond. They just keep going. But, you know, no one else could see them. If thou seekest anything else, O Bharata, tell us, O tiger amongst men, so we may do thy bidding. Right? So in other words, you can't come in here, you won't see anything. You come in here, you'll die, so therefore don't bother. But if there's something we can do for you, you tell us, we'll get it done for you. Thus addressed by them, Arjuna, smilingly addressing them, said, I desire the acquisition of the imperial dignity by Yudhishthira the just, of great intelligence. If your land is shut against human beings, I shall not enter it. Right? Because his point is it's not that, no, we're kings, we'll do. No, it's not a matter of false ego. We're humans. We're not allowed to go beyond the human sphere. So therefore, based on that, I will stop here. Right? Does that make sense? So when you have a position, and that's it, you stop there. Not by false ego that we go beyond that. That's not our position. Right? That should always be remembered. Right? Ego can take us beyond anything, but we've seen it doesn't really get anyone anywhere. Anybody who's used that method has never been very successful. Right? Duryodhana was seemingly successful, but ultimately, you know, having your whole family destroyed and whole dynasty, you wouldn't really call successful. Right? You know, it's like Arjuna is known as O son of Kuru, or O son of, you know, I mean, the Yadava, you know, I mean, the Kauravas, the Yadavas, they're, you know, descendants of Yayati, a great person. Why is he a descendant? Why is he called a descendant of Kuru? Because of his character, but just in light of what we were stating. He's in the dynasty, so him being in the dynasty means what? What did Kuru have children? Right? Did they have children? Okay, now, if Duryodhana has brothers and children and they're all killed, Now, in the future, will anyone be called, you know, a Dhritarashtra? No, because they're all dead. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that it wasn't very glorious, right? We remember Dhritarashtra, but no one's saying, yes, I'm in his dynasty, right? Isn't it? There isn't anybody. They're all finished. So it's not considered glorious amongst kings to not leave a dynasty. Does that make sense? So, therefore, his policy of false ego didn't do him any good. It just didn't work. He tried, but just couldn't do it. Let something be paid unto Yudhishthir by ye as tribute. Hearing these words of Arjuna, they gave him as tribute many cloths and ornaments of celestial make, silks of celestial texture, and skins of celestial origin. It was thus that Tiger among men subjugated the countries that lay to the north, having fought numerous battles with both Kshatriya and robber tribes. Having vanquished the chiefs and brought them under his sway, he exacted from them much wealth, various gems and jewels, the horses of the species Titiri and Kalmasha, and also those of the color of the parrot's wings, and those that were like the peacocks in hue, right? Peacocks in hue means that royal blue with other tinges of other, you know, hints of other colors there. You remember who of Radharani's associates wears this color? Vishaka, sure?
No.
Vrindadevi? Not sure. You sure she wears like that? Peacock also. Lalita always wears it. I know Vishaka wears peacock. Okay. And these horses were all endued with the speed of the wind. Surrounded, O king, by a large army consisting of the four kinds of forces, the hero came back to the excellent city of Chakraprastha. Right? So in other words, he still was surrounded by a large army. It's not that he came dragging back, you know, covered in, covered in dust and with only one eye, right? You know, so you know, he did better than that. Partha ap Chakraprastha. Chakraprastha, you've heard of Chakraprastha? Yes, Indraprastha, right, says another. Partha offered the whole of that wealth, together with the animals he had brought, under Yudhishthira the Just, and commanded by the monarch, the hero retired to a chamber of the palace for rest. Right. So that completes his conquest of the north. Right. So he started off from there, went across the underneath the Himalayas, you know, down or you know straight across, basically along the Ganga. You know, and then up to Manipur, then along the bottom of the Himalayas, then he crossed the Himalayas, then fought everything up there, then went north of that, and then came to the northern Kurus. So that means you have to go beyond the Gandamandana mountain, you know, which is very, very far north. The northern Kurus, then from there, then he came straight back. Section 228, excuse me, just 28. Vaishampayana said, in the meantime, Bhimasena also endued with great energy, having obtained the assent of Yudhishthira, the just, marched towards the eastern direction. The tiger among the Bharatas, possessed of great valor and ever increasing the sorrows of his foes, was accompanied by a mighty host with the full complement of elephants, horses, and cars, well armed and capable of crushing all hostile kingdoms. That tiger among men, the son of Pandu, first going into the great country of the Panchalas, began by various means to conciliate that tribe. That's interesting. And ever increasing the sorrows of his foes. Right? That's very nice. He never thought of it. The negative used as a positive, right? Okay, so then he first went to the Panchalas, right? Because you have to remember, they were farther up. The Panchalas were down, so now they're farther this way, so east goes across, right? So the Panchalas will be the first kingdom, right? So that's Draupadi's kingdom. So therefore, since now they're family, then conciliation will be used. then that hero, that bull of the Bharata race, within a short time vanquished the Gandakas and the Videhas, right? Because that means he'll be in the middle, the mountains there. All across means your Madhya Pradesh. Yeah, all those different mountains. What are they called? What's the Mahendra? But there's also, it's also, starts with the B. Vindhya. Yeah. That exalted one then subjugated the Dasharnas. There in the country of the Dasharnas, the king called Sudharman, with his bare arms, fought a fierce battle with Bhimsena. And Bhimasena, beholding that feat of the illustrious king, appointed the mighty Sudharman as the first in command of his forces, right? Anyone who'll come out with his bare hands to fight Bhima has got to be good, right? You know? So then he decided, we'll make him the commander-in-chief of my army, right? So after defeating him, of course, but the point was, is, you know, this man was, you know, fit to be the commander of Bhima's army, right? Because that's what he likes to do. Then Bhima of terrible prowess marched towards the east, causing the earth itself to tremble with the tread of the mighty host that followed him. Then that hero, who in strength was the foremost of all strong men, defeated in battle Rochamana, the king of Ashwamedha, at the head of all his troops. The son of Kunti, having vanquished that monarch by performing feats that excelled in fierceness, subjugated the eastern region. Then that prince of the Kuru race, endued with great prowess, going to the country of Pulinda in the south, brought Sukumara and King Sumitra under his sway. O Janamejaya, Pulinda, because remember the Pulindas are one of the tribes, right? Pulindas, yeah. Well, you always have your origins here, because what I always have to remember is all these different tribes that were there came from places in India, and then they were, due to something they did wrong, removed from India. Like one big group that ended up over there was a group of, I can't remember how many tribes it was. But it was many, many tribes. They got together and killed one Kshatriya, king. So then his son then came and collected them all together and drove them out of India. Right? So they had to go, you know, one of them he would shave their beards, another one he shaved their heads, leave their beards, do different things. That's why you see over, like, and they drove them towards the west, over in the Middle East, and you have all these interesting kinds of dresses like that, because these are all from these different tribes. You know, so your origins, all of them, all come from here. Like the Sabaras, they're here in India. You can see them when you go to Calcutta, sometimes on the right side of the road just before Kalyani. There's a whole group of them there. They're camped out there, like that, Sabaras. But then they're also referred, and we see that there were Sabaras Indradumna was dealing with, you know, with the Sabara king in connection to Nilamadava, you know, who then came as Lord Jagannath. But then he also probably translates Sabaras as the Siberians. So it'd be the same group, they just headed north, and I guess up there, you know, how you say, nowadays no one is, I guess they're not known for their wild pigs, so they, you know, became known by something else. So, you know, does that make sense? I guess the pigs didn't make it across the Himalayas, I guess, maybe, so. At least not on 4 feet. Right? Oh, Janamejaya. Is that a question? Janamejaya. Then that bull of the Bharata race, at the command of Yudhishthira the Just, marched against Shishupal of great energy, the king of Chedi. Hearing the intentions of the son of Pandu, came out of a city. That chastiser of all foes then received the son of Pita with respect. Then, O king, those bulls of the Chedi and Kuru lines thus met together and inquired after each other's welfare. O monarch, the king of Chedi offered his kingdom unto Bhima and said smilingly, O sinless one, upon what art thou bent? Bhima thereupon represented unto him the intentions of King Yudhishthira. Dwelling there for 30 nights, O king, Bhima was duly entertained by Shishupal, and after this he was set out from Chedi. He set out from Chedi with his troops and vehicles. Why would Chedi Raj be nice to him? right? There would be two reasons that I can think of. They were related, right? Because Shishupal is related to Krishna, and Krishna is also then related to the Pandavas, right? He's cousins of them, and so there's some distant relative. That would be one. What would be the other one? It was in the previous Parva. That would give some indication. Right? Who was Shishupal like a vassal of before this? Jarasandha, right? So now, and who killed Jarasandha? And Jarasandha is more powerful than? Right? So therefore, then by, how you say, algebraic equation, one can understand that Shishupal, if he's smart, will not mess with Bhima, right? And he's a relative, so therefore no one will say, oh, you're not a Kshatriya, you didn't fight, you know, he killed your emperor. Like that. He'd just say, hey, he's a relative, you know, what's the problem? Like, you know, so, like that. He would get out of it. Right? Section 29. Vaishampayana said, that chastiser of all foes then vanquished King Shrenimat of the country of Kumara, and then Vrihadvala, the king of Kosala. Then the foremost of the sons of Pandu, by performing feats excelling in fierceness, defeated the virtuous and mighty king Dirghayagya of Ayodhya. The exalted one then subjugated the country of Gopal Kaksha, the northern Kosalas, and also the king of Malas. So that means that Arjuna was moving a little farther north of this. Right? So we said he went across above the Ganga. It wasn't exactly on the Ganga, because this is what Bhima is doing. Right, he's going like along down the Ganga, because it goes east. The Ganga goes east there. And only then, when it gets to Bengal, then it goes south. Right, so he's going. So Arjuna would have been north of that. So you've been going under the Himalayas, and that, and then coming back and going through the mountains there. Is that? And the mighty one arriving then in the moist region at the foot of the Himalayas, soon brought the whole country under his sway. That bull of Bharata race brought under control in his way diverse countries, endued with great energy and in strength the foremost of all strong men. The son of Pandu next conquered the sunny country of Balata and also the mountain of Shaktimanta. That was by the side of Balata. Bhima of terrible prowess and long arms vanquished in battle the unretreating Suvahu, the king of Kashi, brought him under complete sway. Then that bull among the sons of Pandu came in battle by sheer force. The great king overcame in battle by sheer force the great king Krata, reigning in the region lying about Suparsha. Then the hero of great energy vanquished the Matsya and the powerful Maladas, and the country called Pashubhumi, that was without fear or oppression of any kind. So he's having to fight a lot here, because this was the area where Jarasandha was ruling, so all these kings were under Jarasandha, this area. The long-armed hero coming from that land conquered Madahara, Mahidara, and the Somadeyas, and then turns its steps towards the south, the north. The mighty son of Kunti then subjugated by sheer force the country called Vatsabhumi, the king of the Bhargas, and also the ruler of the Nishadas, Manimat, and numerous other kings. Then Bhima, with scarcely any degree of exertion, and very soon vanquished the southern Malas and the Bhaghananta mountains. The hero next vanquished by policy alone the Sarmakas and Varmakas. That tiger among men then defeated with comparative ease that lord of earth, Janaka, the king of the Videhas. And the hero then subjugated strategically the Shakas and barbarians living in the part of the country. The son of Pandu, sending forth expeditions from Videha, conquered the seven kings of the Kiratas living about the Indra mountain. Videha isn't... Who's from Videha? Who's the princess? Huh? Rukmini is from there. Okay, so that means like Assam. That means that area. So that would be towards the north. So he's going down, so the Ganga turns, so then he would go up north from there. And due to abundant energy, the mighty hero then vanquished in battle the Sabmas and the Kashumas, and winning them over by his son, the son of Kunti, possessed of great strength, marched against Magadha. On his way, he subjugated the monarchs known by the names of Danda and Dandadhara. And accompanied by those monarchs, the son of Pandu marched against Girivraja. After bringing the son of Jarasandha under his sway by conciliation and making him pay tribute, the hero then, accompanied by the monarchs he had vanquished, marched against Kamsa. Must be another Kamsa. Popular name. Huh? Now, why? I guess it would be a similar thing to... how do you say? Shishupal, that Jarasandha's son would submit as the king of Giriraja. Right? Also, they put him on the throne, so naturally he would. Making the earth tremble by means of his truth, consisting of the four kinds of forces. The foremost of Pandavas then conquered Karna, that slayer of foes. O Bharata, having subjugated Karna and brought him under his sway, the mighty hero then vanquished the powerful king of the mountainous regions. The son of Pandu then slew in a fierce encounter by the strength of his arms the mighty king who dwelt in Madagiri. The Pandava then, O king, subjugated in battle those strong and brave heroes of fierce prowess, namely the heroic and mighty Vasudeva, the king of Pandra, and king Mahauja, who reigned in the Kaushika Kutcha and then attacked the king of Vanga. So who is this Pandrika? Yes, the imposter, right? So we'll hear about him later, right?
They say that he's a good Karna.
Karna, yeah. That's why the others would always point out when Karna would make his speeches of prowess, they would point it out as you've been defeated all the time by the Pandavas, right? There's never been once you've been successful. So why do you boast now, right? But, you know, Kisa Kshatriya has to boast, right?
So even Bhima.
Yeah, well, Bhima's strength is very great. Like that. Plus he's coming with huge armies and that. But here, subjugated sometimes, if conciliation means it was only that, there might have been some show of arms or something like that, or they just may have come and surrendered. But conciliation means he'll go in. It means he'll stop farther outside and then send in messengers. And then they'll arrange a meeting and then they'll talk. Otherwise, you just march right up to the fort, you know, up to the city, and then declare, you know, either you surrender or we fight. And then if they come out and then say we surrender, you don't call that conciliation. Right? So either by their relatives or you know them, so you send someone in, or they know you're coming and they send someone out, you know. Does that make sense?
But he didn't come silent.
No, but I'm saying he could have just seeing the force, seeing that, or maybe just out of respect for Yudhishthira, he would surrender. I'm saying that's not conciliation, that's surrender at threat of war. It's different. I'm saying conciliation means you start the talk. Surrender means they just come and say, we fight, you know, or you surrender. So either we'll make you surrender or you do surrender. But it doesn't give any detail here what Karna did. Having vanquished Samudrasena, right? Remember King Samudrasena, Samudragar, right? So he was the one. He remember Bhima came here and that we go there to meet that place where the two fought. So that was this time. King Chandrasekhar and Tamralipta, the king of the Karvatas and the ruler of the Sumas, and also the kings that dwelt on the seashore. That bull amongst the Bharatas then conquered all Malecha tribes. The mighty son of Vayu, the wind god, having thus conquered various countries and extracting tributes from them all, advanced towards Lohiti. The son of Pandu then made all the Malecha kings dwelling in the marshy regions on the sea coast pay tributes and various kinds of wealth, sandalwood and aloes, clothes, gems and pearls, blankets, gold, silver and valuable corals. Malecha king showered upon the illustrious son of Kunti a thick downpour of wealth consisting of coins and gems counted by hundreds of millions, right? And these are Malecha kings, right? So even then, they were so wealthy, right? Hundreds of millions of coins they're giving, right? So one gold coin, how much is a... One coin, a general gold coin is, I think, around 7 grams. Some will do them at 11 grams.
1 ounce.
1 ounce, okay. Well, those are bigger coins, so that'll be 28 grams. But that's worth 30,000 rupees, one coin. You're taking those bigger ones. So you take that times hundreds of millions, that's billions of hard cash, not on a computer screen somewhere that changes every few minutes, right? So that's the Malechas. And they're on the ocean, so then they'll get lots of gems and jewels. They're in the forest there, so there'll be lots of sandalwood. The sandalwood grows down there and all those different things. They're in the marshy land, so generally Orissa is not known as marshy. Bengal is known as moist, so that would be over in Sundarbans or even down into, Burma. Because that's where your sandalwood, and that's generally... The British gave it up because it was just too much of a mess, because it was just too wet, always flooding, always just too much trouble. Okay. Then returning to Indraprastha, Bhima of terrible prowess offered the whole of that wealth unto King Yudhishthira, the just. Section 30. Vaishampayana said, thus also Sahadev, dismissed with affection by King Yudhishthira the just, marched toward the southern direction accompanied by a mighty host. Strong in strength, that mighty prince of the Kuru race, vanquishing completely at the onset of the at the onset the Surasenas, brought the king of Matsya under his sway. The hero then defeating Dantavakra, the mighty king of the Adirajas, and making him pay tribute, reestablished him on his throne. Right? Because sometimes you defeat them, you'll put them back on the throne, or you'll defeat them, they'll be killed in battle, so you have to put someone else on the throne. Or you defeat them, but their mood's still not good, you'll put someone else on the throne. So here it's that, you know, they defeated him, but put him back on the throne. Like that. Otherwise, how was it later he could be killed then by Krishna if he wasn't put back on the throne? So now we've met Dantavakra and Shishupal and Poundrika. The prince then brought under his sway Sukumara and King Sumitra. He next vanquished the other Matsyas and the Patacharas, endued with great intelligence. The Kuru warrior then conquered soon enough the country of the Nishadas, and also the high hill called Goshringa, and that lord of earth called Senimat. Right, so I guess he came by. Some of these guys get it twice, right? Unless there's this another Senimat, right? Subjugating next the country called Navarashtra, the hero marched against Kunti Bhoja, who with great willingness accepted the sway of the conquering hero. Why would he accept? Yes, Kunti Bhoja is his grandfather, so, you know, no problems. Marching thence to the banks of the Charmanwati, the Kuru warrior met the son of King Jamvaka, who had, on account of old hostilities, been defeated before by Vasudev. O Bharata, the son of Jamvaka, gave battle to Sahadev, and Sahadev, defeating the prince, marched towards the south. The mighty warrior then vanquished the Sekas and others, and exacted tributes and various kinds of gems and wealth from them. Allaying himself with the vanquished tribes, the prince then marched towards the countries that lay on the banks of the Narmada, and defeating there in battle the two heroic kings of Avanti, called Vinda and Anuvinda, supported by a mighty host, the mighty son of the twin gods exacted much wealth from them. And there, O king of unfading glory, a fierce encounter took place between him and the king of that city for 2 whole days. But the son of Madri vanquished the invincible Bhishmaka. Then, and Bhishmaka, who do we know him from? Who? Rukmini? Are you sure? Then this must be another one, because I thought she was from up north. Okay. So this is another one then. Then defeated in battle the king of Kosala, the ruler of the territories lying on the banks of the Venva, and the Kantarkas, and the kings of the eastern Koshalas. The hero then defeating both the Natakeyas and the Haravakas in battle and subjugating the country of Maruda, reduced Munjagrama by sheer strength. The son of Pandu then vanquished the mighty monarchs of the Nachinas. They generally, when they make the preparation, they make it with really small ones instead of the bigger size. The Arvukas and the various forests of the king's part of that country, endowed with great strength, the hero then reduced to subjugation King Vatadip, and defeating in battle the Pulindas. The hero then marched southward. Right, so we see that they're in different places. Palindas are in different places, Nishadas are in different places. So whenever you have a king like that, then they'll be. The younger brother of Nakula then fought for one whole day with the king of Pandria. The long-armed hero, having vanquished that monarch, marched further to the south. Then he beheld the celebrated caves of Kishkinda, and that region fought for, and in that region fought for 7 days with the monkey kings Mainda and Dvidvida. Right? What is this area now? Yeah, this is where Ramachandra and that he spent time, right? Bali. So now in time it's come down now Dvidvida gorilla. Now he's happens to be here. Right. Then later when Balaram goes to visit Vrindavan, Dvidvida will come there, right? So we bump into all of them. They're not small people, right? All these people. They're big personalities. Those illustrious kings, however, without being tired in the encounter, were gratified with Sahadev and joyfully addressed the Kuru prince. They said, "O tiger among the sons of Pandu, go hence, taking with thee the tribute from us all." Right? So in other words, they fought, but not being tired, then they thought, okay, he's you know, a good fighter. We can surrender to these personalities. So then in this way, then they happily surrendered. Let the mission of the king Yudhishthir the just, possessed of great intelligence, be accomplished without hindrance. Taking jewels and gems from them all, the hero marched towards the city of Mahishmati. And there that bull of men did battle with King Nila. The battle that took place between King Nila and the mighty Sahadev, the son of Pandu, that slayer of hostile heroes, was fierce and terrible. The encounter was an exceedingly bloody one, and the life of the hero himself was exposed to great risk. For the god Agni himself assisted King Nila in that fight. Then the cars, heroes, elephants, and the soldiers in the coats of mail of Sahadev's army all appeared to be on fire. Beholding this, the prince of the Kuru race became exceedingly anxious. And, O Janamejaya, at the sight of this, the hero could not resolve upon what he should do. Right? In other words, because Agni was helping this King Nila. Then when they started fighting, then Agni came, and then everybody was just on fire. Janamejaya said, "O regenerate one, why was it that the god Agni became hostile in battle under Sahadev, who is fighting simply for the accomplishment of a sacrifice, and therefore for the gratification of Agni himself?" Vaishampayana said, "It is said, O Janamejaya, that the god Agni, while residing in Mahishmati, earned the reputation of a lover. King Nila had a daughter who was exceedingly beautiful." Yeah, earned the reputation means he didn't think he was. He earned the reputation, right? Remember that when you go by on your speeding bicycles? Okay. King Nila had a daughter who was exceedingly beautiful. She used to always stay near the sacred fire of her father, causing it to blaze up with vigor. And so it happened, so don't think, hey, we'll get, if you go and sit next to the father, it blazes up, then go for it. If it doesn't, don't bother. And it so happened that King Nila's fire, even if fanned, would not blaze up until agitated by the gentle breath of that girl's fair lips. It was said in King Nila's palace and in the house of all his subjects, the god Agni desired that beautiful girl for his bride. It so happened that he was accepted by the girl herself. One day, the Didi, assuming the form of a Brahmana, was happily enjoying the society of the fair one when he was discovered by the king. The virtuous king thereupon ordered the Brahmana to be punished according to law. At this, the illustrious Didi flamed up in wrath. Beholding this, the king wondered much and bent his head low on the ground. After some time, the king, bowing low, bestowed the daughter of his upon the god Agni, disguised as a Brahmana. The god Vibhatsu, Agni, accepting that fair-browed daughter of King Nila, became gracious unto that monarch. And Agni, the illustrious gratifier of all desires, also asked the monarch to beg a boon of him. The king begged that his troops might never be struck with panic while engaged in battle. And from that time, O king, those monarchs who, from ignorance of this, desired to subjugate King Nila's city, were consumed by Hutasana, Agni. O perpetrator of the Kuru race, also from that time the girls of the city of Mahishmati became rather unacceptable to others as wives. And Agni, by his boon, granted them sexual liberty, so that the women of that town always roamed about at will, each unbound to a particular husband. O bull of the Bharata's race, from that time the monarchs of other countries forsake this city for fear of Agni. The virtuous Sahadev, beholding his troops afflicted with fear and surrounded by flames of fire, himself stood there immovable as a mountain. Purifying himself and touching water, the hero Sahadev then addressed Agni, the god that sanctifies everything, in these words. Right, so that means this. So then he became a relative of the king, and having been given the king's daughter, he was very gratified and then said, "You asked for a boon." So he asked for that his troops would not panic in battle. Right? So why would that be important for a king? Right? Yeah, that makes sense? Yes, without the troops, how do you fight? So then with them, then they were able to fight. Okay? So then he did that. So Agni would always fight with him. Also then, because the girl in this town was married to Agni, you know, and they could, you know, like this, so then most, they just didn't want to be involved with these girls. So then these girls were allowed to just move about on their own, right? So we see it's in a kingdom that everybody leaves alone, and they move around on their own, right? So we see is that there's nothing new in the Vedic culture, but it was not considered anything very special, right? Nowadays it's considered something special, something worth fighting for. But in those days it was granted upon these girls because no one would deal with them. So those who no one wanted to deal with, okay, then you move around as you please. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. But in proper society, then they don't bother with this. Okay, so then today is Thursday. Okay, so tomorrow we'll hear what Sahadev said unto Agni.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.